If you would, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And last week we talked about David. And David was facing some different things in his life. People were pursuing him. People were chasing him. He had some trials and tribulations, just like we have. I mean, his may have been different, but we have trials and tribulations as well. And last week my message was, I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. Today's message, go figure, it's shaken, not stirred. Okay, and we're going to look at it a little differently. Shaken, not stirred. Okay. And last week, as we talked about David, we looked in the psalm, and it said, he said a couple things. He said, God is my only rock in salvation. He said, he alone is my defense. He alone is my rock in salvation. And I shall not be greatly moved. But here's what I found interesting. He found joy in his fellowship with God. How many want joy in their fellowship with God? I do. Man, I don't want to come fellowship with God and not be happy about it. Kind of seems like a conflict, actually. So if you're not happy about it, you've got some other things that we need to work on. But I want to have absolute joy in my fellowship with God. And I think we all want that. All right, as we get ready to start, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will... let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... all right. Before was kind of some bass, you know, we'll rejoice and be glad in it. We needed some sopranos and altos up there to bring it up. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it, and we will find joy in our fellowship with God. Amen. All right, man, we've got to be excited about what we're doing. We've got to be excited about who we are in Christ. We've got to be excited about what he has in store for us. So Isaiah chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 5. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. If I can get to the right place. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Okay, let me just stop right there. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And some translations say light equals or is the law of God. So it says, come, let us walk in the law of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasure. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to the chariots. To their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And people bow down, and each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forgive them. Let me just stop right there for a minute. Okay, great. This land has possessions. They have stuff. They have things. Woo, I'm jealous already. Look at everything they have. And listen, church, we can get that way with our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers. They're making more than me. They have more than me. Why is it that something always goes wrong and my money always has to go to this, that, and the other thing versus I get to splurge and finally buy myself something nice? Maybe I can have some horses like they do or some chariots. Anyone ever feel that way? All right, one teenager and okay. But teenagers do it also. They have these clothes that I don't have. They have these phones that I don't have. And they have these gadgets and these games that I don't have. My goodness, I had to buy my first car and it cost me a couple hundred dollars. But my friends, man, they got these nice new cars and their parents just gave it to them. Don't think for a minute that our teenagers don't think the same thing that we think and go through the same thing that we go through. And we can't minimize it because that's real to them. It's real to us. They have all this stuff. They've made idols. They have possessions. I'm jealous. But we have to humble ourselves. And we have to be careful what our idols are. They can be those possessions. They can be those horses and those chariots and those games and the clothing. They can be those things. Verse 10 says, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everyone proud and lofty. Upon everything lifted up. And it shall be brought low. Verse 13 says, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful slopes. That says sloops, doesn't it? The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols He shall utterly abolish. Okay, it sounds like He's going to be everywhere. All encompassing, He's everywhere. Oh, you think over there you're exempt. You think because of that, you're exempt. You think because you have this, you're exempt. You think because you are this, you are exempt. He says He's going to be everywhere for those people. And then they have their idols that people bow down before. Humble yourself. He says, idols won't just be abolished. They will be utterly abolished. But listen to this, verse 19. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake the earth mightily. Shaken but not stirred. He's going to come and He's going to shake this earth and He's going to shake it mightily. It says, in that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks from the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty. When He arises to shake the earth mightily, it repeats it again. He's going to shake this earth, and He's going to do it in a mighty way. Not just a little shaking. He's going to shake it. Verse 22. Listen carefully, church. Sever yourselves from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? We've got to sever ourselves. We have to protect ourselves and surround ourselves with godly people. Now, we still want to be light and salt. We don't want to leave those people lost. By the way, last Sunday, Eric and I went to a meeting of the Free Methodist, our district. And we had some free resources. And one of those resources was a New Living Translation, New Testament and Psalm Bible in very large print for those that are seniors that need a better Bible. Now it's 8.5 by 11 hardback. But if anyone needs that to get the light into somebody's hands, let us know. And we have those, and we got those free resources. But we also have a little book, a little leather-bound book about this size. And it's the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. So as I say, sever ourselves. We don't want to leave people in the dark that we may be able to help. And we have those that talk about Jesus and His life, and it gives these different segments of His life. His birth, the beginning of His ministry, as He was heading to the cross and His resurrection. Now, the one thing they ask that we don't do with those resources is just put them here, piled for people to take. They want us to put those in someone's hand that needs it. So if you have a need for one of those, get with Pastor Eric or myself, and we'll put those in your hands. But again, it's not just to put out and say, hey, compliments of prayer of faith. It's for us to put in someone's hand that we're talking to about the difference Jesus Christ can make in their lives. For the small ones. Again, the large ones are just for people that have trouble seeing. Okay? It's not just because we want a bigger print. But those are things that we have available to us that we can help bring light into people's dark lives. But he says, you've got to sever yourself from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils. For of what account is he? And we've got to know God is going to shake this earth. The Bible tells us in many verses, he's going to come shake it. Many times in the Old Testament, he's going to shake this earth. Many times in the New Testament, he's going to shake this earth. As a matter of fact, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The Old Testament, we just read, he's going to come and he's going to shake this earth. And he's going to rock it. And he's going to do it in a mighty way, it says. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 through 29. And I love this, and it really is towards, it's at the end of chapter 12, but early on in chapter 12, my heading says, renew your spiritual vitality. And I just thought, as we come before the presence of God and we want to find joy in fellowship with God, that's one thing that we have to focus on doing. Oh man, let's renew our spiritual vitality. Let's renew our spiritual awakening. Let's renew our spiritual desires to grow and to be close to Him. You know how he says we can be close to him? We can be more like him. You can't be opposite of Jesus and say, I want to get closer to you, but I don't want to act like you did. So that we can have that fragrance or aroma of Christ when we're around other people. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Uh-oh, it's getting interesting. Says he's going to shake these things. Says, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. In verse 26, and now in verse 27, now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, in verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Oh, man, I love it. Our kingdom that we are a part of, no matter what happens, when he starts that shaking, we will not be shaken. Yeah, he's shaking it all around us. Again, shaken but not stirred. We will not be stirred. We will not be upset. We will not be left alone. Says he's going to remove those things. We're part of that kingdom that he's going to remove. So that we will not be shaken. We'll be protected. Now don't get me wrong. We're not protected from trials and tribulations, church. Okay? And I will not stand up here and tell you. You will be. Because you won't be. He gives us a different way to handle that. And he gives us the ability to honor God when we face those and when we come through the other side. When we come through that furnace, we can now testify that God brought us through it. We did not get burned. We do not have the smell of smoke on us. He took us through it. He knew we were going through it. And He led us through it. Do not forget to glorify God at the end of your trials and tribulations. Now, we sing songs all the time. You deserve the glory. Yes, He does, but do we give it to Him? Sometimes, some of us, we have opportunity when He shakes the very foundation that we stand on to glorify Him. God, I was shaken, but I was not stirred. Our faith is tested when we face things. And yeah, we can be shaken. But like we talked about last week, I don't want to be shaken off my faith. And if we are, our foundation was wrong to begin with. We're the tree that has those roots that go way out, but they don't go way down. And the wind comes, sometimes just a simple wind, and we tip over. We're uprooted, we're tipped over, and we're gone. And what happens when a tree separates from its roots? It withers up and it dies. He talks about us staying connected to the vine. He does talk about pruning that vine, and sometimes you can equate that to being shaken. But He says it's necessary to be more productive, to produce more. I have to prune you, Adam. To produce more, Adonijah, I have to prune you. We have to go through these seasons. Sometimes, so that we can be more useful to Him. We're in His hands. Let Him have His way with us. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. This is a part of the Bible I love as you go through these last couple chapters in Matthew, because it's filled with red. That means Jesus is talking. He's telling people things. What things? Things that will happen. Things that will take place. He's telling them truths that will be coming or that are happening. We've got parables here. But I want us today to listen to this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Church, He's coming. Jesus is coming soon. I love that. The powers of heaven will be shaken. But then there's a sign that the Son of Man is coming. He will appear in heaven. The tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Amen. Listen. The Lord is going to shake your world. He's going to shake your earth.
And he says he's not only going to shake your earth, but heaven. He's going to shake both. But then Jesus said the powers of heaven will be shaken and a sign will come. And the Son of Man will appear. You see, as Christians, we can be shaken but not stirred. With the right foundation, with solid roots. But I love it because in Hebrews it says, our kingdom is removed from all others. And our kingdom is protected from when that happens. And we are protected by God when He shakes the heavens and the earth. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You today just for Your message. For the ability to allow ourselves to be shaken but not stirred. God, we come before You today, standing with Israel today as they are under attack. Lord, as people are taken prisoner, as people are being killed, innocent lives. Father, we stand with them. We continue to pray for them. God, we pray for the needs of this church body. For those in this church, for those connected to the people of this church. God, we just lift them up today for upcoming medical procedures, for medical diagnosis. God, for the things that we face, the things that shake our earth, the things that shake our lives. God, we thank You for the kingdom that we are a part of. The kingdom that You say You will remove when You come to shake the heavens and the earth. God, prepare us. Help us to get ready for those days. God, help us prepare others for those days that we can again continue to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. God, when our world is shaken, let us not be stirred. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand as we sing Days of Elijah today. Shining light.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come before you and praise you. God, help us remember as we come through our trials, Lord, just to acknowledge you and to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.